And good day, everyone. Kevin Finkel here with another episode of Magic the First Pioneers. On this podcast, we talk all about the Pioneer format and keep our listeners up to date with what is new, interesting, and powerful in the world of Pioneer.
My name is Ryan Schwenk. I am the Japan hobbyist out of the Yokohama area / Tokyo area of Japan.
Yes, yes, yes. All right, so we're talking a little bit about Pioneer today, and you know, we've been talking a lot about meta lately. We had a nice fun deck where we were going a little bit Johnny, you know, brewing up some fun things. And for today's episode, what I really wanted to do is talk a little bit about the format itself. So the topic that I really wanted to bring up is something that... Okay, so let me give a little bit of history first. We used to be a Frontier podcast. Yep. Back in the day, we were some of the only people still playing Frontier. You know, you were playing it in Japan. Yep. That's a good place to be playing it. I was really just, you know, card table and friends online that would talk about it, as well as, you know, going hard with you guys and our other person who was in Canada, where mm-hmm. there was also a fair bit of Frontier played. But when we heard that Wizards would have an official sanctioned format, we were getting excited. We figured, you know, we're going to switch right over. We'll be right on. We'll be, you know, the first pioneers of whatever the new format is. And we were kind of talking. We did a nice podcast episode about what WotC should do to make the new format successful.
Yeah.
And, you know, at the time we were mostly talking about what was going to become, what is it called on Arena?
Before, you mean?
The new, what was the non-rotating? Historic. Yeah. We were mostly thinking about what Historic was going to be, expecting that to be more like Pioneer. So we had recorded this, I think, a little bit before M20 dropped out, and we were, you know, talking about some things that we thought, here's what Wizards of the Coast should do if they want to make a successful new non-rotating format. And now that we are a few months into Pioneer being a format, being exactly what we were hoping for, we just want to kind of go for and, you know, look introspectively about why and how Wizards was successful, whether they did the things that we suggested that they do, and just how that's kind of turned out. Does that sound about right, Ryan?
Yeah, that sounds good. And I should start calling you Kevin whenever I talk to you, because I'm pretty sure you forgot to introduce yourself again at the...
Nope. I snuck it in there. You always forget that I do it so before fast. I
I didn't hear Finkel. I was listening for Finkel. I didn't hear Finkel. Yeah. Sorry. It's early. I don't pay attention in the morning.
Oh, no, that's fine. And it's, you know, late of the night for me. So that's why, you know, I used to say good morning, everyone. Now I say good day.
Yes. Okay, so...
I say good day.
So, yeah, let's jump into this. I think it's a good topic. You know, has, you know, Wizards been doing enough? What do they need to do? Mm-hmm. That sort of thing. So... just to give people some more information, if you want to listen to this old episode, it was episode 68 of The Final Frontier. And you can listen to that on... we'll have a link, I think, on the this episode when we post it.
Yeah, it is still on Spotify, so that's an easy place to check for it. But, you know, if you guys care, it was a mostly forward-looking episode, so you shouldn't be lost if you don't know much about the Frontier format when we were talking about it.
Yeah. So, let's just kind of go over our talking points, the things. We had a lot of stuff that we wanted to talk about on that show, and let's just definitely first kind of say what we... let's talk about, you know, like basically what our opinion was at the time. And then mm-hmm. let's go back and then compare it to like what's happened. Does that sound good to you?
Yeah, that sounds good. So should I kind of go off of some of the things that I was hoping that they would do?
Yeah, so let's start. What was the first thing that we hoped?
Well, the first one was kind of a fun one, and this is you know, not as much serious like it has to be, but one of the things I said, at the time we didn't know what the new format would be called, and I said, well, it's got to have a good name. If it's going to be a successful format, it's got to have a good name. So, you know, at the time we were talking, like people were talking about postmodern mm-hmm. or like, you know, you know, there were a few names
standard
for what
plus,
the new non-rotating, standard plus, whatever you'd call the new non-rotating format. I like Pioneer. What do you think about Pioneer as a name?
Yeah, I mean, I think we said that like Historic was also okay back in the time, but I'm satisfied. It's not the coolest name, but you know, once the format gets cool, I think the name will become cooler.
Yeah, and I do have to say, like, I appreciate the fact that Pioneer is clearly a reference to Frontier. Mm-hmm. So I think that was a pretty good, you know, it's done well. No one's been like, man, why is it called that? Like, it's a cool format, but why is it called that? And compared to something like Brawl, which is people still don't know why Brawl is called Brawl.
Yeah.
I think that that was a success. Okay, now let's go into the little bit more serious one. So one of the biggest things that we said originally is that when we were looking at putting a postmodern format out there, we didn't know what sets they would include. So
all we knew at that time...
Frontier started M15. That was what we had experienced. Yeah. We were actually expecting a smaller one, kind of more like what Historic is now, maybe going back to Shadows over Innistrad, or if we were lucky, like Magic Origins. So I was very excited to see it go all the way back to Return to Ravnica.
Yeah, I think we said like that at the bare minimum, like you'd have to go all the way back to like at least Dragons of Tarkir, like Origins, to have a fun format.
Yeah, I think that's not bad.
And they went above and beyond. Going all the way back to M14 has just been amazing. You know, having...
Yeah, and I think another good way to look at it is that Historic, right when it started, was not much of a format. It was literally, you know, it was just standard plus a single set.
Yeah.
When we had Frontier first start, you know, it was okay at the beginning. It was 10 sets at the time, and by the end of it, it was double that. And I think that it only got better as there were more sets added. So the fact that this started out with, what is it, 32 sets or something like that now? Yeah, I think that's really exciting. I think that's done a really good thing for the format. And I like... I'm glad they didn't go back any further. You know, you go back one more and you'd have had all of Innistrad, which, well, it's a very cool block. There'd be half a dozen things you'd have to ban, or it would just be completely dumb.
No Snapcaster Mage. Man, Snapcaster Mage would be so expensive.
No Gristlebrand. No, there's just so many.
Yeah, it would be bad. It would be cool, but it would be bad.
Yes.
So yeah, bottom line, I really like the choice they made as far as like how far the format goes back.
So 2 for 2 in our opinion.
Yeah,
maybe?
So far they're hitting 100.
All right, I'm gonna keep going with my my big points from that last episode. So I had kind of a 2-for. One is that I didn't want them to ban anything out of the gate. I wanted them to, you know, let people test the things, see what they can do, even if it's expected to be broken. And then the counter side of that is that if there's things that are broken, they need to ban them quickly, and they need to not let, you know, a whole winter where you've got Eldrazi winters sit around. That was one of my examples.
So those are 2 points that we actually talked about last time.
Yeah, so those are 2 separate points, but they do go hand in hand because they're 2 sides of the same coin.
And you're like a prophet. I'm serious. I mean, you got all this stuff right.
I think that this is one where they killed it. You know, I'm not counting the fetch lands. I wouldn't have made sense, I guess, for them to start with the fetch lands out of the back. So other than that, they had no bans at the start. I thought that was perfect, and they were very quick to ban the things that were very clearly broken.
Yeah.
And I think they've continued to do a great job with bans. Nothing has sat around too long to the point where it's stagnating the format, I don't think. And I do love how they've revamped how they're doing ban announcements now. You know, the fact that they were, for the first while, doing, okay, every week we'll have a yes or no on it, and then we're going to announce a week ahead of time, not on a strict schedule. I think those are both great changes they've made that have helped the format and other formats.
Yeah, yeah. We got another one coming up next week. We're not going to talk about it today's show.
Yeah. By the time you guys are listening to this, new bans will happen. So hopefully they didn't, you know, ban every single card and that now we're wrong.
So, yeah, we had make the bans quickly. The other one I think we had was make a format the same in paper as it is online. So what about that
one?
How have they been doing
so that? That one I definitely thought about, you know, when I brought it up on our previous podcast, I was thinking about something like Pauper. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the really big one. That for a long time, Pauper on MTGO and Pauper in paper were not even the same format because of different printings of cards. And you know, that really hurt, I think, the format. And I also kind of think, like, you know, early Commander, there were different ban lists on paper versus what people were doing in the official things. So the fact that they made it, you know, one conglomerated format, they've kept the ban list the same everywhere, they've kept it playable on MTGO and in paper. I think the one point here that they do miss is that Pioneer isn't on Arena, and I think that that's one detraction, that we thought it really should be, you know, on Arena, on paper, on MTGO, something you can play everywhere if they want it to be the maximum possible success.
Because we were saying it's like they didn't have much more to go anyways, because at that time we were saying, oh, they already had back to Shadows over Innistrad. So, okay, now Pioneer's going to be a little bit more difficult. But if they had done like the original Frontier, it wouldn't have been so bad.
Yeah. And how do you feel about how they've done with that with Historic, if we look at that as a separate thing? You know, they've been adding new cards to that. They're all existing cards. So that's a really big one, is that, like, I want to say the absolute death knell would be if they printed a card that's available on Magic Arena but not in paper, mm-hmm. and that's a relevant card, because that would mean that you can't play it the same in paper. That would really be
a bad give me an example. Like, what do you mean?
Well, you know, if you've played on Arena, there are a few, like, they're not like real cards or like a 2/2 for 2 kind of thing that are only available on Arena. If they had one of those that was a, you know, a new card not in paper and it was relevant to a deck,
so not something like
then the archetypes engine. Online would be totally different.
So not something like the part of the anthology, like the Historic, you know, the Wyrmcoil or whatever. You're talking more like an original card.
Yeah, like if they made a new
like
card.
Like a Horizons card sort of thing.
Yeah, yeah. That's what
I'm talking about. But they haven't really done that.
And I mean, they could have done that for Arena. No, they haven't, but they could have. You know, especially with Historic, they could do that, and then there would be no such thing as a paper Historic.
Yeah, so I guess this is kind of undecided, you know, this point, because, you know, we're still kind of waiting on Arena. But, I mean, MTGO, yeah, it's pretty much the same on MTGO.
Yeah, so they get a half a point here, maybe.
Yeah. our next point was giving it real events. And this was so key for Frontier, I thought, you know, back in the day. When they stopped having those real events, like, it just hurt the format so much. Have they done a good job with
Pioneer? Oh, my God. So they've blown away our expectations. Yeah. So when we were joking about it on the old podcast, we're like, oh, yeah, maybe they'll have, like, you know, a side event. You know, maybe they'll have it as a Grand Prix mm-hmm. event. Like, not even, like, you know, this is the players, too.
Yeah.
They are doing the highest level of Magic Gathering playing Pioneer decks, and that's just so exciting.
Yeah, so, yeah, I'm hyped. So, I was so hyped to go to the actual Grand Prix and just play in it. I did horribly, but I'm like, man, I'm just happy to be here.
Yeah, that's really one where they blew away, I think, even our highest expectations for this format. But, you know, I think that it was necessary for them to do this to make it a real format. If they had just, you know, if it was only side events, if it was only, you know, like at will from SCG mm-hmm. and Channel Fireball, then it wouldn't have taken off like it has. You know, that's kind of what happened to Frontier. And I think also, you know, WotC kind of shut down Frontier. You know, I think it would have gone on a little longer if they didn't know that Pioneer was coming, and they kind of, you know, stamped out a little bit of that.
Yeah. What was I going to say? PTQ is also, a lot of people are doing Pioneer PTQs as well.
Which is great. And that's awesome. That's really awesome.
It's kind of sad, though. Like, in Japan, pretty much all PTQs have been canceled this season because of the virus stuff going on.
Yeah, that's unfortunate.
Pain in the butt. I'm so happy I could do the God of Pioneer the other week. That'll be probably the last big one I can do for a few months. Next point we talked about.
One of the next points that I think was something you were really touching on is that they need to think about this format moving forward. Mm-hmm. I'm pretty optimistic about this one. You know, it's not something that, you know, I can't expect them to have been printing cards in the most recent set because that was planned 2 years ago. But if we go into next year, you know, or even the rest of the sets coming out this year, I should expect to see cards that are in some way specifically planned for the Pioneer format. And, you know, I think WotC has done a good job at this for Modern, for Legacy. You know, you'll see a card and it's like, okay, that doesn't do anything in Standard, but it's going to be very powerful in Legacy.
Or EDH.
It's answering a question that, or an EDH.
Yeah.
Because it's answering a question that format asks that other formats are not asking. So if we got something that specifically shut down something like Inverter Combo mm-hmm. because they know it's powerful, that's how they could really show me that they're building new sets with their older formats in mind and testing for them. That's really huge for me. You know, not just letting it be a Wild West.
Yeah, yeah. We kind of talked about this a little bit, you know, back then as well, but I feel like their whole philosophy as far as designing sets and whatnot has been creeping up as far as, like, becoming more powerful if you have the synergy, but not more powerful in a vacuum. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I definitely know what you mean. And I think that that's okay. I'm very okay with that. I think that they still have done a good job pretty much throughout where the Pioneer started to where it is now at keeping a relatively even power level between sets.
And, I mean, this benefits Standard players because a lot of Standard players, like, people were bringing Simic food to Pioneer events and doing really well because Oka was just that broken. You know, they could play the pretty much the Green Devotion deck. You know, it had pretty much everything from Standard in there except for like Nykthos. So yeah. So they've been doing a really good job of printing powerful cards that do well with a certain synergy. Kind of like before when they had energy and whatnot. But they haven't really gotten too busted outside of Oko, I think.
Yeah, there's been a few parasitic things. Yeah, food was very powerful till it got a ban. Mm-hmm. Energy at the time. Now, where I don't think they've done quite as well is, and this, I know this is a hard thing to do, is that one thing I really liked about Frontier, and I think early Pioneer even, is that there was a lot of ways to walk a deck from Standard to Pioneer to Modern. And I think some of the best examples were like Dredge. You know, you were playing the graveyard cards in Standard. You can play the same deck in Pioneer with a bunch of additions. And then you can play the same deck in Modern with a bunch of additions. Mm-hmm. I felt like the Scales deck kind of did the same thing. You know, the Standard version became a Pioneer version, became a Modern version. Yep. You know, kind of it's Modern's fault that that's not good anymore. But I do wish that more decks were like that. I know that's very hard for them to design in mind what's going to be meta. Mm-hmm. But that's one of my favorite things is when your Standard cards suddenly become your Pioneer collection, suddenly becomes your Modern collection, and you're able to branch out and play more Magic, which is what everyone wants to do, is play more Magic.
Yeah, I mean, they've put some effort into this. You could see, I can see how some, I mean, like I said, with the food deck, some Standard decks are playable in Pioneer. Maybe not Tier 1, but, you know, they're playable. You don't have to buy anything extra. And I've also seen a lot of Pioneer decks breaking into Modern recently. I think someone was trying to play Inverter Combo or, like, Lotus Breach.
I've seen Inverter Combo. I've seen some Breach decks. Yeah, definitely. I think that exists. And I think that, you know, when they printed something like Steel Overseer, that helps it walk back in that way.
Yeah, maybe. So they're doing a good job. They're making an effort. I think that's the best way to explain it.
Okay. So I still give them points there, probably. I mean, we haven't seen them do it yet, because we haven't seen new cards yet, but that's what I'm looking forward to. I'm optimistic on
it. I think another point that you had that you wanted to talk about was the reprints. So
yeah, I think that's really important, is that if there's cards that end up being, you know, just stupidly expensive,
like Ugin,
they need to be willing to reprint them quickly and repeatedly on if they need it.
So they haven't really done this too well so far.
Yeah, so what are some of the most expensive? You know, we're not a finance podcast. Yeah. We do look at the prices, but not all the time. I mean, Jace is up to
43, 44, I think now. Ugin's like at 70 in Japan.
Oof, that's, yeah, I mean, it's probably 60 something in the US.
Yeah, buy list is 60 here.
Oh, wow.
What else is really big now? Of course, Liliana, I think, is pushing $50. Calatis is like 35. Even like the Gideon of Trials, everyone's playing with that card now. It's like 20 something.
I mean, another big one is that a playlist of Thoughtseize is over $100.
Oh yeah, yeah. I buy listed one of mine for like $29 each. I was pretty happy with that.
That's pretty good for a buy list price.
I didn't buy list. I sold to a friend who was giving me the between the buy list and the sale price. Sale price is like 3,500 yen here. So buy list was like 26, 27. I'll give you 29. Okay, but anyways.
Yeah, so I think that they need to be able to address that. So one of the things that we kind of said is, hey, maybe they need to make Challenger decks that are a Pioneer Challenger deck, a nice way to get into the format. I mean, right now I would say that, and it's probably going to be like this for a long time, is that a lot of the cost of a Pioneer deck is still driven by the expensive Standard cards. Well, so, you know, things like Uro, I mean, I guess that's not much in Standard, but things that are Standard legal tend to be more expensive, and the things that are out of it are less expensive. But when there is one thing like a Kalidus, like a Jace Finn's Prodigy, an Ugin, and just that card is driving up so much price, I think it's very important that they do go out of their way and they find a way to reprint
them. I mean, they'll probably just be doing the reprints in Standard. I'm guessing they're going to do more Challenger light decks. Like, they'd had the, what was it, the Hardened Skills one back, you know, when Ballista was in Standard. They had a Ballista in it, if I'm not mistaken. So, you know, having like those really pricey Standard cards be reprinted in a Challenger deck, I think would be a good idea. Like getting an Uro in like a 35.
I think that helps, but you can't exactly, you can't go and print Emrakul the Promised Demon Standard.
No, that's the big thing. So like if we're looking at what needs to be reprinted and what can be reprinted, I think that's like the problem right there. It's like you said, you can't print Emrakul in Standard.
You can't print Thoth.
It has to be a supplemental Pioneer set or Pioneer Challenge deck sort of thing. Or maybe even...
So I do like when we do a little bit of a finance episode. Mm-hmm. So maybe we'll make some of our own Challenger decks as a new episode sometime to try and put some of these reprints into validation.
Could these see reprints? Circulation. Could these see reprints in a supplemental EDH product?
You could if they're minor. You know, that's a onesie twosie here. The other thing that we could eventually see is we could see a... Modern Masters kind of format. We can get a Pioneer Masters set.
Or the Horizons, like we were talking about.
Yeah, now that would be very different because that would be new cards. Yeah. So that would more touch on our last point of if they're making new cards to answer the right questions in the format. But that is a very different topic.
So, I mean, I think I've been talking about this in previous podcasts. There's still a lot of booster packs out there. And I've been collecting a lot of these old booster packs to like do chaos drafts and whatnot. I'm not sure if reprints are 100% necessary. I think before that happens, you're going to have to see a lot less just product in general, on the shelves.
Yeah. But I do think that if they don't do the reprints, that is a guaranteed death knell of a format. I mean, that's really what's driven Legacy from being such a major player like it used to be. I think it's what, when you think about something like Tiny Leaders, availability really kneecapped that before it could even get started.
So what would you say?
Pauper even suffers sometimes from...
What would you say is like the limit then? Because as far as like the average price of a deck, because we're looking at about 300, 400 to 500, probably around that middle area right now for most decks.
Yeah, and that's not... I mean, I'd like them to be cheaper. I would always love for WotC to, put more value in packs to make it so that everyone gets their cards for cheaper. But, there's limits to that. I don't think... There's a few things that I think are stretching it. I think Thoughtseize at $25 is disgusting because it has to be a 4 of in every single black deck. That's one of my biggest ones that is kind of a small gripe. And then there's onesie twosies here that I'd like to see getting a reprint just for quality of life for Pioneer players.
So I know that they have those special packs. Like if you go to a local game store, they have like I don't know what they're called.
Challenger ones.
You get five, six cards, and they're like all rares. And like a foil land.
Yeah, the like Mythic Edition maybe. I don't know. There's so many supplemental products that are not aimed for players like me who mostly, I draft and I get my cards.
Yeah, they're for standard players basically that try to finish out their play sets of rares and whatnot. But if they did something like that in Pioneer, like Pioneer events, that would be a good idea. Like next time they have some PTQs or something, you give that out to each competitor.
Sure. And, I wish there was still things like FNM promos where you could make Ugin an FNM promo so that people can get their hands on it.
Oh, wow.
Or maybe not that, but maybe there used to be game day promos, something like that, where it's just like hey, it'll put a lot of them into distribution who are playing
game day. I mean, the last game day game weekend. I don't know if they're called anymore.
Showdown.
Maybe? That was like even before. They're like something totally different. It's like Magic Weekend now. I think is the name of the game day.
Yeah.
And it was Pioneer. So basically, if they decide what the format is going to be, I don't know if the stores are deciding or if WotC is deciding, but if WotC says, hey, this is going to be a Pioneer game day, and then at that time you could start giving out some of those promos, that's a good idea. So they have to definitely communicate that. They have to, kind of take a look at what kind of cards are, definitely needed and start getting those out now, I think. I would be perfectly fine.
So meanwhile, we're old men griping about how things are different than what used to be. So let's move on to kind of our next question of this topic.
So the next thing you wanted to talk about the next thing I wanted to talk about is, would you say that Pioneer is now in a good spot? So we talked about all these things they have done and haven't done, but are you satisfied with where it is?
Yeah, I think it's in a great spot. We had a great tournament season. I think that there were very fun, balanced, interactive decks throughout the player tours, throughout the latest SCG. I'm expecting a ban on Monday, and I think that will probably help the format, but I don't think it's in a bad place, and I think that the surrounding infrastructure is still in a wonderful place. You know, we're still getting all of the MTGO support. We're getting it everywhere for every tournament's got Pioneer, and I'm very happy about it.
And I was saying this on Discord, but I think, you know, they're definitely going to be waiting to do bans kind of like until, like, they're going to be waiting until the format kind of slows down. After all of the big events are done, all of the, you know, people have kind of, you know, tested it like crazy, they're going to ban something that seems somewhat problematic. And then for the last part of the season, people are going to start brewing again. They're going to start playing Pioneer again. And then you get your what do you call it? The new cards coming up, the new spoilers.
Yeah, as I was going to say, don't forget we've got new spoilers coming out just around the corner here. I'm trying to think when the date is, but we should be getting it like 2 weeks, next week, something like
that. So I like what they're doing here as far as like the Pioneers never really hit that bottom, that low, where people just kind of like escape to the other
formats.
Or it's
been the same for weeks and weeks.
Like, yeah, in Standard.
I agree, and that's been good.
You know what I mean? Because like in Standard, people are like, okay, I'll play it for like the first month, month and a half. Oh, all the events are done. I don't want to play it anymore. And no one goes to the stores. So I feel like, yeah, they had the big events. Everybody's buying their cards. Everyone wants to do it. And now it's kind of going down again. Oh, hey, look, we're banning something. Oh, I want to play again. I want to try it. This deck that wasn't viable before, but maybe now it's viable. And then, you know, when that starts going down again, they're like, oh, hey, new cards. Let's see what they're going to, you know, what kind of decks we can make with those. So, yeah, they're doing a good job. People will continuously be playing Pioneer, I think.
Yeah, definitely.
Well, so another thing I wanted to ask that's kind of part of this, what can they do better?
It's still a month until the next set. I thought it would be sooner.
So, yes, it's in a good spot now, but what could they do better? What do you feel like is kind of failing in Pioneer or...
I mean, I don't think I can think of anything that's specific to Pioneer. I feel like, in general, you know, getting more reprints, having more data available, you know, they're still giving pretty limited MTGO data. You know, they limited some of the PT data.
I say it's promotion. They are not doing a good job of promoting it enough, and that's solely because of coverage.
Okay. Yeah, that's a very fair point. I think that's true.
Like, no Players Tour coverage, really. I mean, there was some, but it's like it was only like the top eight, and the Grand Prix didn't really have anything either. Hallelujah does their, you know, the God of Pioneer stuff. They had all eight rounds on their channel in the top eight. That was great. But I want to see more coverage. I want to see more videos of events, and especially when we have diverse metagames like we do now.
Yeah,
sure. In the, you know, when we started off this season, it was like all inverters, but now I kind of feel like it's kind of settled pretty well. And we talked about that in a previous episode.
Yeah, I think so. And yeah, if you go back to our previous episode, that was when we were talking more about the meta. This one is, you know, like I said, we keep our listeners up to date with all kinds of things. So more than just whatever is meta, more than just, you know, brewing fun things. And this one is a little bit outside of our normal wheelhouse.
So that's all I wanted to say. I'm just kind of disappointed in the coverage.
Yeah, I think that's fair. Now,
Yeah?
Did you want to talk a little bit more about this topic? You know, I'm kind of feeling like this was a really good, kind of a short episode, but I feel like we wrapped up what we wanted to say. Do you want to move towards the end of our show?
I think there's one or two more things that I think we could talk about, you know, in this topic. So, you know, we've been talking about Frontier, how we were a Frontier podcast before, and, you know, also we talked about Historic, like how we felt about Historic. So let's real quick talk about why do we think Frontier failed and why hasn't Historic taken off? Why aren't more people? Because there's like nobody playing Historic now.
Yeah, I know that's a little bit true. I mean, Frontier, I think the biggest one of kind of our topics was it didn't have the events. You know, WotC wasn't officially supporting the events. They weren't, you know, encouraging them to run the events. So that really hurt it. And I think that also it probably needed bans. It wasn't desperate for bans, but there were definitely a few times where the format really became one or two decks, and that hurts it.
Yeah.
Usually it was like Al-Saheeli, Mono Red, or Atarka.
Yeah, definitely needed some...
Historic...
Yeah,
Historic, I haven't played much Historic. It hasn't been worth it to invest for me. And from what I hear, it's a little bit the same. You know, the events aren't there. There's not... You know, they're finally getting competitive queue.
Yeah, they're doing ranked.
But the fact that wasn't right off the back was a big joke to me, I think.
I think next week they're doing ranked Historic finally. I've been putting decks together that I pretty much had together... you know, from past seasons. Like, I already had most of the cards. I just had to get, like, three or four wild cards. Like, I made black-white vampires. Like, I had played vampires in a past season. So like, that's, like, all there, basically. Yeah, I have my Waste Knot deck, my fun Waste Knot deck. They're releasing Waste Knot next week. So I'll build that, and I'll play it just because I want to test it. I want to have fun. I don't really care to play standard or, like, do that to get my dailies. So I'll be playing it just to be able to get play my, you know, 10 block spells or whatever, you know, sort of thing. I'm not really excited about it, but, yeah, like you said, they need to have more ways to play it, more events scheduled and whatnot. So.
Yeah, more availability. Because I do wish that, like, I feel like if Pioneer was on Arena, that would also be a big thing.
There's one more thing I wanted to ask, actually. Yeah. This is kind of more, like, finance related, but, sorry, I can't remember it. Sorry, never mind. Yeah.
Was it about Arena or Paper Magic?
It was about Paper Magic. It just left me. I'll have to talk to you, tell you about it later. All right,
we'll talk about it.
My brain's not functioning. Tweet it out to me
and people can comment on that. Yeah, I mean, I know it's early morning for you. That coronavirus has got you a little bit down. All right, well, stay safe on the trains over there in the crowded Japan area. I'm going to bring us to the end of our show. So, guys, if you liked what you heard, we do these kind of episodes sometimes. You know, sometimes we're more on the meta, like I was saying. But this is our podcast. We talk all about the Pioneer format to keep our listeners up to date with what is new, interesting, and powerful in Pioneer. I am Kevin Finkel. You can reach me on Twitter at MTGPioneer. We got the original handle. You can also find our subreddit on MTG Pioneer. We've got a Discord associated with that. And you can find our podcast on Podbean, iTunes, and Spotify.
Yeah, you guys can find me on Twitter at Yoshwenky, which is Yoschwenky. There's my website, www.japanhobbyist.com. And, yeah, like you said, you can find us on Spotify. So, you know, be sure to subscribe. Be sure to tell your friends, you know, communicate with us. And, you know, if you feel like you have some good ideas for the show, please communicate. You know, give us a...
Yeah, we would, you know, if one person tweets out like, yo, talk about this idea, we're gonna fall all over that because we're pretty small still. So any fan interaction, we will absolutely love. Yeah, that's about it, guys. We are the First Pioneer Podcast, and we are signing off.